Hi, everyone, and welcome to Televisions, the podcast, an audio companion to the Televisions website and a show made by Anglophiles for Anglophiles. I'm Lacey Bogger-Miles, and I am the editor here at Televisions. And joining me, as always, is my co-host and partner in crime, Miss Annie Bundle.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you today?
I feel very fancy because Greg made me a cup of coffee this morning because I was struggle busing it pretty hard. But he put like a shot of vanilla syrup in it. And it's, you know, what a great, yay, great husband. Also, I feel fancy because it's like, why did I pay like $5 for this at Starbucks? Sorry, Starbucks, I love you and I miss you so much.
I so miss Starbucks. Our Starbucks actually has a little, they put like a row of tables in front of the door and you do everything via the app, and it's been a lifesaver a few times.
Oh, like mobile ordering?
Yeah, like, but it's mobile. Yeah, like the entire store is mobile order only. And like, basically,
is,
you order via your phone and you walk in and it's
move.
Under your, like they have A through H, H through L, etc. And you just go under your letter and there you are.
Oh my gosh, I haven't had to do one of those go by the letter of your last name since I got married. And it's really going to like mess me up because I'm very used to being like in the first group and I'm not going to be first group anymore. Or am I? I don't know. How do you do hyphens?
Anyway. Usually I think you do the first name of the hyphen, not the second.
We'll see. Anyway, I will ask you this time because you are the keeper of the background knowledge of this information. What are we talking about this week?
This week, we are deep diving into BritBox.
Yes, remember, we are calling this, what did I say? Now Stream This.
Yes.
This is our Now Stream This deep dive series into the myriad of streaming options available to Anglophiles now. It's a whole new world.
Yeah. BritBox is actually a relatively new streaming service, considering, you know, the landscape has been about, you know, at this point, 15 years. If you think of the way that if you think of streaming as sort of coming in waves, it was sort of the end of wave one being like, you know, YouTube and Hulu and Netflix streaming, like the TV shows it had the rights to at the time and movies.
Remember
it had the rights
when to. Netflix was literally just like the mail?
I know.
That seems so far away right
my
now.
My mother still gets them through the mail. They still do.
Does
it.
She really?
Yes, she does.
It's wild to me because I just got a Christmas card from my mom this week. And I mean, just spoiler alert, Christmas was a while ago. So let's save the post office, folks.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry if your Netflix DVDs are lost to limbo is what I'm saying.
The second wave of streaming is now the new kind of like, you know, production studios, single production studio named streamers that have only all their stuff on it, like, you know, Apple TV Plus and Disney Plus and HBO Max, etc. BritBox is very much of the first wave. It is, in fact, sort of like the British version of Hulu. Hulu was made by three different channels, three different linear channels on the U.S. market, ABC, NBC, and Fox, basically as a way for people to stream their programs legally rather than pirate them. BritBox is made by BBC Studios and ITV, like literally 50%, 50%. And it was made for the American market so that Americans could watch British television legally without pirating it.
I think I've said this in every episode on streaming that we've done so far. I'm a person who was very familiar with VPNs and torrents and having to do like a lot of work to get my British TV. And if you just, I am deeply lazy. Mm-hmm. I am lazy.
So are like, most people.
Just give me, you can take my $6 a month or whatever if you just like make it easy for me.
Yeah. And that's literally like, that was what iTunes basically proved when it launched in 2004, that people didn't actually want to be pirating music via Napster. They just did it because there was no easy way. The second there was an easy way they could pay 99 cents, they all switched en masse. Hulu basically was the American version of doing that for television, and they proved it worked. So basically, when both, you know, when the BBC basically got screamed at by the government that all of these people were torrenting iPlayer via VPN and doing it openly, they had to basically crack down. And part of that crackdown, you know, there are different things like the iPlayer actually now have to log in and so forth. But
you have to have like a zip code.
Mm-hmm, yes. To prove basically that you're a British citizen, because legally I mean, the thing about the BBC is that it is a government-run, it is a government-chartered enterprise. It is for British people, by British people, only for British, paid for by British taxpayers. And therefore, only the people who pay for it are the people who are supposed to get it. That is the whole thing about the BBC. And we'll get to that in a minute anyway. The point is that basically BritBox was another step in the let's combat piracy thing. And basically BBC Studios teamed up with ITV, who was also having massive problems with people VPNing in and watching the ITV hub for free, to make a legal way for Americans to watch British television shows. Now, it calls itself sort of for expats, and it does do stuff that is very much clearly aimed at an expat audience. For instance, the Queen's speech is broadcast on it every year in real time. A lot of Christmas things, in fact, are the Christmas at King's is another one. They got the rights to basically bring EastEnders and Coronation Street and Hollyoaks and, you know, the really big British soaps do actually put their new episodes on BritBox within 24 hours, which is, you know, that's pretty big. And that is as close to getting something, you know, immediately for streaming the way that we get, say, Doctor Who over here on BBC mm-hmm. America.
But so they also, and I only know this because Carmen literally just did a post about it, they also do a lot of like the panel shows that are yes. on over there, like Mock the Week and stuff like that. Stuff that would be weird if you like left it for 2 months because it wouldn't be topical anymore.
Right. But there's only so many of those they can do. And there's a lot of hoops that were jumped through and a lot of paperwork that was signed to make those things available to an American audience. And it's because that's what BBC and ITV thought we wanted. And they're not wrong, really. Like, those are especially for expats who, you know, love those shows and grew up on those shows, having, you know, almost instantaneous access to those shows is a really big thing. But it also means that the thing is that BBC can't do it with all of their programming. Like, BritBox isn't just the BBC streaming. It isn't just ITV streaming. And again, that goes back to the fact that it is technically illegal to do that. Yeah. It's the problem.
I know I have in the past been like, why can't you just make a global iPlayer?
Yeah.
Like, just make it easy. But they don't.
Well, they can't.
I guess because it's illegal.
Yes. And I mean, this is the same problem that BBC America ran into when BBC America first launched, is that BBC, one of the things about BritBox that is actually pretty interesting is that it is actually BBC Studios launched, not BBC Worldwide, which is the commercial arm that it created to basically export these shows legally. BBC America was actually created by BBC Worldwide to export legally. So the fact that BritBox does not have to go through that workaround is also a really big thing. And part of the reason why it can give us EastEnders and Coronation Street and the Christmas stuff so quickly. But, you know, the other problem, and this is one thing that BritBox sort of learned from the BBC America experiment, is that Americans have a really twisted idea of what British television is, and that's PBS's fault. I mean, let's be honest, that is PBS gave us the idea that they're over there all the time watching I, Claudius and The Hollow Crown, uh-huh. right? Like, so many Americans think that BBC Four is all there is of the BBC, and that is so not true. Like, they don't look at if you look at American television, there are tons of shows that are actually British shows that were remade for American audiences, like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, like America's Got Talent was really British, Britain's Got Talent, American Idol was originally Pop Idol, a UK show, right? Like, that's what British people actually watch, and they tried to put those kinds of shows on BBC America. Like, I actually remember finding that that terrible Andrew Lloyd Webber reality show.
Oh yeah, where they were like casting the Phantom or something.
No,
it was Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
They did three. They did Joseph. They did Maria from Sound of Music, and they did Oliver. Any Dream Will Do was the name of that show. That's the one I found. Was the Any Dream Will Do one?
Oh yeah, because Any Dream Will Do is from Joseph. She said, nerding out about.
yeah,
about musicals. Let me talk about musicals, guys.
They each had different. Yeah, Any Dream Mode was the first one I found. How Will You Start Solve a Problem Like Maria was the Sound of Music one, and I forget what the Oliver one was called. But the Oliver one is actually where Jessie Buckley comes from. She won that show. She's a reality star, right? And I think I may be the only American who actually saw her win that show. Anyway.
I mean, but it's true, though, like if you think about the stuff that, and I'm about to say this, I have no shame in the amount of trashy reality TV that I watch, but like it's like if America were suddenly like exporting Too Hot to Handle to other countries,
right? Instead of the HBO programming that winds up on Sky,
because truly the various levels of the Beeb have some of the most ridiculous like reality TV I've ever seen. Like it's wild,
right? And like Netflix has done wonders to sort of like adjust American expectations to what British television actually is. But even they don't bring over like Pointless, right? Like they don't bring over the Taskmaster. Well, no, actually, CW did try to bring over Taskmaster. Now that I think about it, that was terrible. It lasted like an episode.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So like. That's the so you know the problem that BritBox had like a twofold problem. A, it cannot just put British television on the service wholesale, and second, Americans have a really weird idea of what British television actually is. So you know what they've done, and I don't think this is a bad way of handling it, is that when they launched, they emphasized the old stuff, which A, was legal for them to put on there, easy for them to put on there, and what Americans actually think of when they think of British television. So like Doctor Who, like when BritBox launched, its big marketing push was that it had every single Doctor Who episode ever in existence from the 63 to 89. Like it had the largest collection ever. And it worked. Like we got BritBox because we were like, all of old Who, we're here, right? Like, and
do have all of classic Who. Like that's mm-hmm. that's my big selling point for BritBox, honestly.
Right? Like, and it was a really good selling point. Like, I think Rob watched like every single Red Dwarf episode. Like,
oh yeah, some people are really into that.
Rob really loves that show. Right, and that's the so it sort of launched on the idea that it had lots of old television shows.
I mean, and to be fair, out of every streaming service that like an Anglophile might want to have in their homes, if what you want is to watch stuff you missed when it was on before, their archive is insane.
Freaky.
Insane. It's huge.
Because that's what they have to give us. You know, ITV is not bound by the same rules that the BBC is. But even so, it's still like, if the BBC isn't putting on today's programming on there, ITV isn't going to be doing it either. Right? And so, like, there's lots of old shows, but it's what we sort of, as Americans, expect to see when we turn on BBC, something that's BBC. You know, we expect Agatha Christie's Miss Marple. We expect Poirot. We expect, like, you know, Death in Paradise and Father Brown. Like, that's what we think of, right? So that by putting...
ITV also has some trashy reality programming. Like, isn't that where Love Island is?
Yes, that is. Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. No shame. Love Island is great.
But note also that Love Island isn't the kind of stuff they're putting on BritBox. That got big through Hulu. Because both channels genuinely believe, having seen what happened with BBC America, that American audiences don't want trashy British reality television.
We totally do. We totally do.
I think that was correct in 2005. I think
we have all been in quarantine for a year.
Mm-hmm.
Give me Love Island.
It's true. But I really do think that Netflix has been a major game changer in what we as Americans expect British television to look like. It really has sort of normalized British reality television. One of the WETA digital channels literally shows Escape to the Chateau like on at 8 p.m. like nearly every night right now.
It's Escape to the Country.
No. Escape to the Chateau is a different one. Escape to the Chateau is one where they are actually refurbishing a chateau room by room.
See, this is not my lane of reality TV. I thought they were all the same.
No. Escape to the Country is House Hunters UK. Escape to the Continent is House Hunters France for UK buyers. And Escape to the Chateau is two British people bought a chateau and are slowly renovating it room by room, the way that like you see on HGTV.
Yeah, give me the I am here for like the circle, not this stuff. Which, by the way, the circle is also great. I'm here to just tell everyone. We should do a reality TV episode where I just talk about reality TV. Anyway, moving on.
Okay, so BritBox has mostly been Matt ever since. And, you know, when it does bring over, like, you know, BritBox originals, like Don't Forget the Driver was a recent one that came over.
Please, please explain in this world of... Because I really don't understand, like, what... Because I know Netflix does this. Like, Netflix calls Peaky Blinders a Netflix original. Netflix didn't make Peaky Blinders.
No.
But, so, like...
Netflix helps finance Peaky Blinders. So, here's the deal. Netflix needs original programming. Its big mistake, it's decided, is that it relied on programming from Disney and Warner Brothers and NBC Universal. And then one day they all decided to go make their own streaming services and took it all back. And suddenly Netflix had this gigantic hole where it didn't know what to do. And it needed to start labeling things Netflix originals in order to make sure that they stayed there, even if someone decided to go make a new their own new streaming service. Now, Netflix started making its own originals, but there's only so many shows it can make in a year, okay? And considering that it puts out like 60 shows a month right now, 60 titles a month right now, that's a lot, right? Like, they can't do that all on their own. So what they've done, and this is especially true with British programming, is that they'll go and they'll partner with people. Are you making Peaky Blinders? Here, we'll increase your budget by one third if you let us call it a Netflix original everywhere outside the UK. And that way, should you decide that you want to go make a streaming service, you can never take it back from us because it has Netflix original on it. A great example of this is The Great British Baking Show. If you watch The Great British Baking Show, the first few seasons all say PBS in front of them. And then starting with season 5, they all start saying Netflix originals. And that's because the show moved to Channel 4. And Channel 4 paid £25 million for it. They really needed to offset the cost. Netflix was there to do that for them. So that is why a lot of British programming on Netflix has Netflix original in front of it. Like Bodyguard is another one where the BBC made that, but Netflix sort of paid them back like a third of that budget so that they could, you know, call it an original over here in America. And we get a lot of, this is not quite what happens on BritBox. What happens with BritBox is that it pays some money to be able to call something a BritBox exclusive or a BritBox original. But it already aired in the UK a couple of years ago. So Toby Jones' Don't Forget the Driver, which I believe premiered this past fall, was actually like a show that came out in 2018. But it never aired outside of the UK anywhere. It was basically no one had ever heard of it outside the UK. And so BritBox got to call it an original and bring it over here and have it be an exclusive for its streaming service here in America. And that's how those work. Another one that came out this and it doesn't just do this with the BBC shows. It does this with ITV too. McDonald's and Dodds is the other big one that they released this past fall. That's a mystery, you know, that it literally looks, sounds, walks, talks just like every other PBS, like, you know, masterpiece mystery show. And it's basically ITV launched it over there, and then they gave it to BritBox basically paid a fee to be able to call it a BritBox original and air it over here.
I do think they are getting better about the timeliness of the stuff they bring over, though.
Oh, yeah. McDonald's and Dodds is much, much... I think it actually premiered over there in March, and it premiered over here in October. So that's only 6 months. But remember, ITV is not bound by the same rules as the BBC, so it can export stuff much faster.
That is true, because I was thinking about some of the stuff they have coming up in February, and I think both of them might be. I know one of them was ITV. I think they just had like the Scottish Mystery Traces last month, which mm-hmm. I think might have been ITV. And in February they've got
there's the Pembrokeshire Murders.
Yes, which was like a huge hit for ITV. It's a very what do the kids call it? Thick with two C's.
Yes,
and Luke Evans from the Hobbit movies, and it's about like a Welsh serial killer. I'm excited. It feels like very. I like serial killer shows, which is maybe weird considering how much I don't enjoy mysteries generally, but maybe it's because I listen to a lot of true crime podcasts. I don't know.
Yeah, but the Pembrokeshire literally like premiered this year on ITV.
Well, yeah, I mean, like a couple of, like maybe a month ago.
Yeah, about a month
ago. Yeah, well, I say maybe a month ago. There's only been like a month of 2021. What is time?
I know.
Another episode coming soon where we discuss the meaning of time and how it passes. So yes, it did. But it did premiere in 2021. And I think it was only a couple of weeks until it's going to be on BritBox.
And the more that we can do, the more that becomes normalized, the better it is, I think, for the BBC. Even though, like, you know, there's this whole, like, rigmarole around their charter and so forth that they need to sort of follow. I think there is such a huge audience out here for BBC programming. And if the government is determined to screw with the funding for the BBC, I don't see why the BBC shouldn't be like, look, we're going to go where the money is. I mean, you know, in the end, like, if the Tory government is determined to screw over the BBC, they need to do something. And this is a thing that is a way for them to really make money. You know, as you say, like, there are so many people who will just pay $6 a month.
Do you know how many streaming services I have in my home? It's like half a dozen at this point.
Right.
It's a lot.
So the other thing about BritBox that and the reason that what actually like inspired us to do this episode is that BritBox was launched, as I said, it was an American product to try and stop American piracy. And that was in 2017 that it launched. And then it launched in Canada, like, I believe the next year in the same way, doing sort of the same thing to sort of, you know, push away this whole, like, you know, get people to stop using VPN and actually watch, like, a streaming service. British people were like, well, why did they get BritBox and we don't?
Which does not make any sense. Like, when she told me this, I literally said, like, why do they need BritBox? Like,
no, they have had iPlayer since like 2007.
Like, they have the BBC, right? Which is basically like, they live in England. That is BritBox. Right? Like, come on.
ITV Hub has existed since, like, ITV Hub didn't launch in 2007. It launched later, like, I think 2014, 2015, something like that. But still, like, they've had access to all of these shows via their own streaming services that we have no ability to access. Like, I can't go sign up for ITV Hub, right? Like, I can't go sign up for iPlayer, not legally, right? Like, these are things I cannot do. So that's why I need BritBox. Whereas the British people have the ability, but they were like, no, we want BritBox too. So BritBox was like, okay, fine, we'll launch over there too. That's fine. We can launch everywhere. So I think they launched in the UK towards the end of 2019. Again, what is time? They launched before the pandemic. Let's put it that way. I'm pretty sure it was the end of 2019. And so the next step, now that they have established themselves as, you know, a streamer in the UK, is to start making their own original programming.
I'm sorry. Can you just imagine saying that I'm going to watch BritBox UK? Like, does that not feel insanely redundant?
It
like
does.
Just coming out of your mouth.
Well, it yes. Yes.
No offense, BritBox UK. I'm sure you're great. But also, still.
Well, that's the thing, is now that they have launched in their home country, they need to have a reason to exist rather than just recycling
iPlayer.
Yeah,
what the
iPlayer
heck are they going to put? Like here's Pembrokeshire Murders that you just watched last month.
Right. So basically, they've now started making their own programming. And this is actually like a really big deal. You know, anytime a new streaming service comes along and starts producing their own television shows, it is a big deal, period. End of list. Because that means that there is yet another like place that we can get programming from. And, you know, so basically they have several that are that they unveiled. I guess it was last summer is when they first unveiled this. And one of the ones is a Magpie Murder, which is just cast Leslie Manville.
Who we love.
Who we
love that
love.
For her. But also you may have heard of this series as something that is coming to Masterpiece.
And
soon.
That's because it's a BritBox UK exclusive. which means it's not coming to BritBox US. I know. I'm so sorry, Lacey. It's very confusing.
The face that I'm making. I feel like if we need to make like a flow chart because this is ridiculous.
But honestly, it's also a good thing for PBS because the fact of the matter is that when it comes to trying to get television out of the BBC, the PBS is being outpriced of the really good stuff, and they've been upfront about it. There was a interview with the head of Masterpiece recently, where she talked very frankly about the fact that there are great shows coming that PBS has no hope of even beginning to bid for, because you know Netflix and HBO Max
because PBS is supported by viewers like you.
Yeah, and you know the days when Downton Abbey was basically going free because no one else thought that was going to be popular doesn't exist anymore. Like, it just doesn't. That is not. It is 10 years later, and things are different now. And so PBS needs.
Has it really been 10 years since Downton Abbey?
2010. It premiered over there in 2010 and here in 2011. In fact, this is it premiered in February of 2011. So it is 10 years this month.
I am Morla, the aged one from the Neverending Story, and we don't even care whether or not we care.
Yeah. Anyway, so the thing is that PBS needs other like places to get television shows from. Otherwise, we're going to be stuck with Hugh Laurie in Roadkill. Sorry, Hugh Laurie. That was mean.
I know, but Roadkill was really bad and he deserves it. I love you, but don't ever.
Yeah. So, you know, with BritBox UK now making shows that aren't necessarily going to go to BritBox US, you know, that's a really great stream for PBS to partner with and get. And then turn into a masterpiece show. Like, that's great. And, you know, the lineup of stuff that they're looking at, that they're talking about doing or that they're working on are really great. Like, there's Dominic West and Damian Lewis are going to do an adaptation of A Spy Among Friends, right? Like, they talked, Jared Harris, who was fantastic in Chernobyl, is going to headline a five-part revenge thriller called The Beast Must Die, I believe.
That one's coming to AMC.
That's coming. Yeah, but that's the thing is that like, so all of these are going to come to places that aren't BritBox US, but are BritBox UK originals. So this is basically a new stream of original programming that we as Americans will get, even if we don't get it via BritBox US. And some of it may come to BritBox US, like it may. But
it just might not start there.
And that's the other thing, because BritBox has focused so heavily on older shows, that it can get older stuff once it becomes available. So say like Downton Abbey, which left PBS streaming this past summer to go to Peacock, BritBox US also has Downton Abbey via ITV. Like that's, so, you know.
Flow chart.
So, you know, once stuff becomes a little bit older, it's going to show up on BritBox US for us is basically the point. And these are really, and, you know, I think it's really great that they're doing these kinds of shows. And I think that BritBox US, that BritBox itself is a really great deal for basically any Anglophile. Even if they focus more on like, you know, having the older stuff. We love that older stuff.
I know. We love that for us, especially because some of that stuff, and I'm thinking specifically of North and South, which is a period drama that I adore. But I don't think it exists maybe anywhere else except BritBox. Like, it might be on Amazon. I am always... Amazon, I love you, but I can't ever find anything in your streaming library. So it could be on Amazon. I'll never know. But, yeah. Like, because after Bridgerton, I very much wanted to watch North and South because it has a very sort of similar, like, it feels, a lot of the elements of that feel similar to me. So,
Yeah. And like another thing that I mean, BritBox has actually sort of made it its mission to be a completionist about these sorts of things. So it's not that it has like Classic Who. It has every single episode of Classic Who. It doesn't just have Red Dwarf. It has all 15 seasons, right?
There are not really 15 seasons of that show, are there?
I feel like there are.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. It has, basically, it has all of them. And that's, it doesn't just have, like, the new Agatha Christie Miss Marples that aired on ITV recently. It also has the old Joan Hicksons. It also has every single Poirot episode ever invented. It also has all the movies that were done before the television shows happened, like the 1970s era movies with Peter Ustinov. Like, it has all, basically, it has every single Agatha Christie anything it could get its hands on and put it together in one large collection. And that, you know, the fact is that unless, especially when it comes to like streamers like Netflix, unless it's a Netflix original, you don't get the whole thing all the time. Like
and you can't be guaranteed that, like, you know, every entertainment site that you follow is suddenly doing posts that are like, what's leaving Netflix this month? Because like there is no object permanence to many of these streamers in their libraries. BritBox is object permanence.
Yes, they are very much into object permanence. When things go to BritBox, things don't leave BritBox. And I find, and that's partly because they very much focus only on shows that are BBC and ITV and that they already own, so that there's no reason for anyone to take it. Nobody can come along and say, oh, we're actually going to take all of our shows back because we're going to make our own streaming service. This is their own streaming service. Like, it's not, nothing is going anywhere. Right. And I think that also
that doesn't mean that it can't live simultaneously in other places.
Yes. Like Downton Abbey.
It's got a very one stop shop feel.
Yes. And it has. And it's just amazing, like, how much stuff they have simply by like being completionists that way, you know, and like they have, I believe, all of the Ups. And when I say the Ups, this is a documentary series, 7 and Up, 14 and Up, that basically follows the same kids over the course of their lives, starting at age 7, age 14, I believe. 63 and Up was the one that just came out. And the guy who was behind it actually passed away like a couple of months ago. But they have the whole thing. They have all of them. And it's a fascinating documentary series about the way that it's a ongoing look at the way British life really it has been these past 60 years. And that's, you know, I done in real time, which is, you know, amazing to me anyway. You know, and they're also like, I think of them as, if there's two kinds of streamers out there, the kind that are sort of your TV replacements and the kind that are sort of your add-ons, it is a fantastic add-on for any Anglophile.
Agreed. But if what you want is to see like the latest stuff, you're going to be a little bit more hamstrung in that. Although as we said before, that is getting better. Pembrokeshire Murders is coming in February. Honor is coming in February, which was the Keeley Hawes drama about that honor killing that happened a few years ago in London.
Love Keeley Hawes.
Literally, we'll watch her do anything. So, I mean, I'm trying to think of what else has... I'm looking at you because you write our streaming posts.
I haven't done February yet. I actually have to do that this weekend. I mean, honestly, like the stuff that's coming in February, let's see, Silent Witness. All of Silent Witness is showing up. That's what it was.
Oh my gosh, there's so many seasons of that show.
Right? Like
there's like 20 some seasons of that show.
Uh-huh, 21. Sorry, I had to go to my notes and look. But yeah, like there's just so much in the BritBox world that, you know, when they get, they don't just get like one or two seasons, they get all of them. And also they make a really great like companion to something like, say, Netflix. So let's say you've just watched like season four of The Crown and you want to actually like go look for stuff about like Diana and Charles. Like they have Britain's Royal Wedding on there, right? They have like Diana the Interview That Shook the World. Like they have all of that stuff that is kind of what The Crown was basing its drama on. So you can go see the real stuff. And that makes it, as I said, it makes it a really good companion. And I mean, and when I say like they are completionists, like they even have like the classic Doctor Who San Diego Comic-Con panel on BritBox.
Do they really?
Yes, they really
do. I'm thinking the last time they did one was a couple of years ago. Is this the one with like Colin Baker?
Yes.
and Sophie Aldridge, maybe?
Yes.
I was in the front row for that panel.
Yeah, like, I mean,
see if you can spot me. I doubt a minute.
I mean, honestly, like, that is, I really appreciate that kind of, you know, completionist mindset, that anything a fan could possibly want is there.
I mean, as somebody who, like I said, was at that panel and who enjoys completionist things, like I will, if I am really dedicated to watching something, I have to watch all of it, because sometimes that's great and sometimes that is really like a torture, and I don't really recommend it to anyone, but I know there are other people out there like me, so that's nice.
And the other thing I wanted to bring up, which I couldn't remember, was actually that it also has, you know, as I said, like we as Americans have this very bizarre idea of what British television is. They have so much Shakespeare stuff, and they are intensely completionist about that too. And some of it is actually like you're actually, it's a little shocking that they have it on there. Like they have like the blackface Othello on there. Right?
Ooh,
yeah.
That does not make me feel good. Didn't I just read somewhere that maybe they have the Eccleston Macbeth?
They do.
Because I was supposed to go see that and I didn't get to go. So I really am excited. I only saw that like recently. I haven't watched it yet, but like that's wild. Like that's certainly, I don't think that's on any other platform.
Right? And that's having like, by being completionist that way, they really make this a streamer that is different from everybody else, because no one else is quite that. Like Netflix doesn't do that unless it's a show that it did itself. Like the only reason that Netflix has all of the Great British Baking Show series is because it happened to get it from all the other places where it came from, and PBS hasn't taken back the episodes that were theirs, right? Like that's the only reason they have all of it. When they do bring over British shows, like I was thinking of those gardening shows with Monty Don, like they only have like they don't always have like all the seasons. They'll have like randomly season four and that's it. And like you can get all of Monty Don on BritBox.
They are like that with some, apparently this is just me confessing to a lot of bad reality TV that I watch. They are like that about some reality shows too. Like they'll have like randomly not sequential seasons of things.
I fell madly in love with the Great British Menu, and there was exactly one season. Food Network type show. Anyway, and they and literally like they had like season 9 or something, or season 10. Like it was like there were like years and years of history behind like all of these competitors, and I had no idea of any of it. Yeah, and that's frustrating. Like if you want to find a show like that, you want to watch the whole thing, especially when they have like, you know, seasons where it's like all of the, you know, chefs coming back. Netflix will just put like the one where all the chefs came back. Wait, when were they there the first time? Well, you know, that's what BritBox is there for. Like, I don't actually know if BritBox has Great British Menu. Again, as I said, it does have some reality shows, but it not in quite that way.
Yeah. That makes sense. I don't feel like that. I don't feel like a lot of the British reality shows that come out of the UK are very in keeping with sort of the brand. Yeah.
Right, like, and that's
it's got like, you know, BritBox has like a very sort of discerning like feel. It's for people who like know this stuff and are looking for something specific, or just want to watch all of it because they love all of it, and they're like to some of the reality stuff.
Yeah, and like they do have like I was thinking like what was it? There was a dog reality show that they did that I really, really loved. And like, they do have some of that kind of thing, but a puppy love, that was what it was called. Anyway, so like, you know, there's
I'm not about reality shows with animals.
See, like, I totally, like, I am the, like, I haven't actually subscribed to Discovery Plus, but, like, everything that you find on Discovery Plus is, like, totally the stuff I watch when I don't have to watch things for work.
I mean, actually, well, I guess, like, technically, like, Planet Earth is, like, a reality show yes. with animals, but it's not, like, the animals are not, like, competing or doing anything. Like, they're just being animals, and you get to watch them.
Yes, and I love all of the Planet Earths. I think everyone loves the Planet Earths.
Oh, my gosh, we just watched... I may have said this in a previous episode, but I took so many pictures of it because we watched Frozen... like Planet Earth, Frozen Planet or something.
So
like
pretty.
It was the one about like Antarctica and stuff. And
yeah, it's okay.
Hammersmith got really excited about all the birds. So he's a nature. He's a nature fan. My cat.
Oh, that's so cool. Anyway.
He like jumped up in front of the TV on the TV stand, like the TV credenza, and was like batting at the birds.
I love that. Anyway, so yeah, like honestly, like I think, you know, even though BritBox can be very frustrating in that it doesn't get a lot of stuff quickly, it is still like one of the best streamers for Anglophiles. And I really hope that like our listeners, like, you know, if they're looking for, if they're trying to figure out like which add-on streamers to sign up for, I feel like Acorn and BritBox are basically the two that every Anglophile should have.
Mm. There's just so many though. That's why we're doing this series, because like the stuff you want is in a lot of different places, sometimes in multiple places. So you don't have to be like me and have all of them. You can do some picking and choosing, I think.
Yeah, but this is definitely one that, like, you know, it has, like, you know, like the old Sherlock Holmes with Jeremy Brett, and then it has,
oh,
like,
you love those.
Oh, I love those. Right? Like, it has so many mysteries, you guys. Like, I have to admit, like, this is totally, like, where I go to just put on, like, old mysteries and just let them play. Even when I remember, like, who did it in every single episode. Like, I totally, like, I binge on so much of that. I binged on all of Prime Suspect. I binge on all of Partners in Crime. Like, and Partners in Crime is kind of terrible. Let's be honest. I mean, really, it kind of is. You know, and you know, like, honestly, like, oh, and it has all of Sharp too. That was the other thing. I had never
Hot young Sean Bean.
I had never seen Sharp before I watched Game of Thrones and Lord of the Rings. Like, I didn't know about Sharp until after Game of Thrones, and I watched all of it via BritBox, and yes, it's great. Anyway,
I'm trying to think if there are any final thoughts I have about BritBox that I haven't already shared. Yeah, it's a really good, like, I feel like if you're enough of a fan of this content to like refer to yourself as like a dedicated Anglophile, you probably already know about this, and that's gonna be the kind of like sort of archival base of things you might want to see. And I know everybody's different about whether they want to watch old stuff or whether they only want to see like new contemporary things on their streamers, or, and by contemporary, I don't necessarily mean like taking place in modern day. I just mean like having come to television in the past couple of years. This may not be your best bet, although they are getting better about it. But I think that for them is a work in progress. Although I am excited, like the past, like in 2021 so far, they have brought some fairly newish things to their platform. So I feel like as they are, I don't even want to say more established, because I feel like they're pretty established. I don't know what the word I'm looking for is here, but as the year continues, I expect that to, you know, keep going, hopefully increase, because basically I want us all to be able to watch all the British stuff that is out there and to do it in a way that does not require a lot of, you know, work. That's selfish, but it's true. That is, I do believe, all the time we have for this week. Annie, tell the people where you live on the internet.
You can find me at Annie Bundle on Twitter. I'm Miss Annie Bundle on Facebook. You can find pictures of my cats at Annie Bundle on Instagram. Let's see. I am a staff writer at Elite Daily. I write a lot for televisions.org. I also freelance around the web. So, you know, basically, if you follow me on Twitter, I retweet all of my bylines. So you can basically follow me on Twitter and you'll know what I wrote this week.
Ta-da! I am LacyMB on Twitter, LacyMB. And like Annie, I also write a lot here at Televisions and other places around the entertainment web, but I always tweet my bylines. So come and be my friend. Watch me yell about stuff. See pictures of the cats. If you just want pictures of the cats, they are on Instagram at Baker and Hammer. And
they are perfect.
They are perfect. They are 6 months old now. And I don't know. I'm worried that they're going to be like gigantic lion cats because they just will not stop growing. Anyway, what else? That's right. The podcast and the site can be found on social media at Tele_Visions on Twitter and Televisions Blog, all one word, on Facebook. If you have thoughts about BritBox, what we should be watching, what they should be bringing over, if you feel it is a necessary addition to your streaming life, you can tell us those thoughts at televisions@weta.org. That's our email address. And if you like what you hear today or any other day, give us some ratings and reviews on the podcast app of your choice. Televisions is brought to you by WETA. And if you like what we do, you can visit us at televisions.org and click on the donate button up top to help us keep doing it and support public media at the same time, which is probably the more important part, but I say it second. We're here. It's 2021. It's happening. Time is a rubber band of meaninglessness, and I don't know. It's getting scary out there, folks. Well, scarier, I guess. It's not like it was never not scary. So wear a mask, hand sanitize, keep your social distance, do the unfortunately necessary research of figuring out how your state and locality is handling COVID vaccinations. It is truly like I'm trying to help my mom figure out how to get a COVID appointment, and it is work. So just be prepared for that. Get a soda and some time with your laptop. But as always, we are hoping that we can bring you some, you know, escapist joy in these dark times. And we are glad you're listening with us, and we'll see you next week. We'll